Hey, I'm Jamie.
And I'm Justina.
And we're the hosts of Just So You Know, a podcast where we get to the bottom of suspicious stories and outright lies we're being told by companies that profit off of animals.
You think Elon Musk is shady? Wait until you hear our episode about his sinister brain experiments.
First he ruined Twitter, now he's coming for your actual brain.
No.
We've also got one about that time I stormed the runway at New York Fashion Week to protest Coach's leather handbags.
Yeah, I heard they weren't happy about that.
I couldn't tell you. They're not talking to me at the moment.
And we're just getting started. In the coming weeks, we're going to blow the lid off of everything from shady pet dealers to monkeys held hostage by coconut milk companies to the astonishing secret behind the no animals were harmed message you see at the end of movies.
And so much more. We'll hope you join us for this surprisingly fun journey full of strange characters, secretive companies, and a whole world of stuff they really don't want you to know.
Subscribe to Just So You Know wherever you get your podcasts and look for our new episodes every Thursday. Just So You Know is a PETA production.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
Time now for the College Football Inquirer with Dan Wetzel.
It's amazing. They went 40 years without winning a national championship, and now everybody's chasing them, and it didn't look like they're going anywhere. And yeah, maybe Alabama still got one more run in them. Kirby Smart isn't 70 years old.
SI's Ross Dellinger.
I sure hope we're going to get a little splashes of parody. I say that after, a couple hours after, after not only 65-7, but a fourth straight SEC national champion.
And SI's Pat Forty.
They are set up for the 2020s and beyond, frankly. So, I mean, unless Kirby Smart loses interest or wants to try the NFL, look out, everybody.
Here's Pat, Russ, and Dan.
All right, welcome to the pod. The ass kicking is over. Georgia Bulldog 65, TCU 7. Yeah, that happened. Fun season, bad ending.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, very good. That's a good
way to
put it.
Look on the positive. Mr. Yeah. Positivity over
that's
here.
That's right. A good yeah, spin on yeah, it.
That's
right.
True.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. After midnight, it's 3 a.m. on the East Coast. Poor producer Sean. I've got a Natty Light for the Natty Championship. Yeah. Pat's got a Sierra Nevada.
I got a
Ross has got a Sierra Nevada
and yeah, a Triple Makers.
Triple Makers and a Sierra Nevada. So there you go. It's that kind of night.
Ross is the MVP of the pod tonight.
We're in the bowels of the LAX Marriott. It's glamorous. It's exciting. Yeah. It rained.
Got soaked completely going to the bus.
Rain and wind in LA. How about that? In the SoFi Stadium, thankfully they put a roof on it, but what they forgot to do is put side doors. There's no side doors.
No walls.
No side walls, no side doors, no side anything. So the rain and wind swept on in. But
so Georgia's good.
That's the analysis people come to the pod for.
Right. Yeah, I don't really know what to tell you. So, so it was like the first series, Duggan missed that wide, he had somebody wide open, I think the running back, missed him. I was like, oh boy. I did think TCU's offensive line wasn't too bad early.
Right.
That was giving me some hope that we would get a game. That didn't happen. They couldn't stop him. You want to know how ridiculous this game was? At the end of Kirby Smart's press conference, he thanked his scout team. And he said, we made the scout team learn the TCU defense. And we said, we're going to play it better than them. And then when we prepare, they were prepared to, they were perfectly prepared because they were going against a better version of the TCU defense in practice. And knowing the athletes that are on that scout team, it's quite possible that he's he's accurate there.
Yeah. Yeah.
The scout team could beat TCU.
Yeah. I mean, look, the way Georgia's offense rolled, then I think it's absolutely possible that their backup defense is better than TCU's first team defense. I mean, Georgia scored their first six possessions, I believe, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I think only they opened the second half with a three and out.
And the TCU fans roared their approval in the end zone because I was down there with them. And they were, well, they were, you know, they were pretty impaired by that point. There was a lot of double fisting of 16-ounce Bud Lights. And, yeah, as soon as they got their first stop of the game, which didn't happen until a few minutes into the third quarter, they gave a big a loud, thunderous roar for their defense. It didn't get any better, though.
Yeah. This game was so out of hand so fast that Ross spent a lot of the second half just walking around, like, trying to gauge the misery of the TCU fans.
Getting rained on inside and
getting crushed on the field.
Spent most of halftime and most of the third quarter walking around the stadium, seeing TCU fans, went and dropped in on Brock Bowers' family as well. But, yeah, there were some wet, cold, miserable TCU fans.
Brock Bowers is good.
Not bad.
Just a little bit.
157 yards, what, one TD?
One TD. And here, newsflash for people that are tired of Georgia. He's only a true sophomore. He'll be back next year.
He'll be back.
As will Ladd McConkey, who caught two touchdowns.
Georgia will be the number one team next year.
Hell yeah.
Disrespected, of course.
Yeah.
I heard somebody in the locker room, or in the locker room after, which everyone is smoking cigars.
Yes.
It was more than the Kana cigar bar we actually went to in downtown L.A. Sunday night.
Which was a very good cigar bar.
It was. And SoFi Stadium locker room, not a good cigar bar. Unless you're a Georgia Bulldog, then it's the best cigar bar.
We could smell it. I did the TCU angle. So I was in the TCU locker room. You could smell it. In the TCU locker room or right around the TCU locker room, you could smell the cigar smoke.
God, that's another insult.
Yeah. I'm not sure how excited the Chargers were that they're
yeah.
I mean, they're still playing. Yeah. Like, are they? I don't know if they don't practice.
It reminds me of the LSU championship 2019 in the Superdome.
Right.
Which Superdome has the worst locker rooms, low ceiling, just awful, tight. And LSU's, you know, was lighting up in there and somebody threw either a match that was still lit or a cigar into the trash, which started a fire. And then so many people had cigars that the cops came in and was trying to make people put out cigars. But, it reminded me of it, just the smell in general.
Yeah, it was a little out of hand. I'm surprised. I mean, you know, it's a nice $6 billion building and they're just polluting the crap out of
it. It's like, you know, you can get like a $250 fine for your hotel if you smoke in the rooms and stuff.
Yeah.
Might get $250 million fine.
Yeah, I mean, Kroenke. It's like, hey man, I built this place.
Yeah.
How many more billion to put up walls? You think? What do they cost?
It's not supposed to rain.
I know.
And
I'll agree with Pat. Like it was probably the coolest stadium that I've ever been into. I mean, it was really awesome. I love the idea of actually having like the open air on the sides and stuff. It just, you know. What? How many times does it rain and blow like that in L.A.? It's just awful timing. But it really was a really cool venue.
So, Dan, to your point, though, weren't you somebody in the Georgia locker room was talking about, like, overcoming adversity or something?
Oh, no, they got asked it. They go, I just overheard as I was wandering around, you know, talking to people, someone was like, yeah, there was that week Tennessee was number one. How'd you feel? And I was like, oh, my God, here we go. Well, the plucky underdogs. They had Nick Bromberg from Yahoo. There's up 72 play 70. Their last four recruiting classes 72, four or five stars, and TCU had like 11.
Yeah, and one in I came up with like 77 and 17, but that was concluding some transfers and stuff that they had gotten.
Yeah.
But I think it's in just five stars. It's like 18-1. I mean,
it's 1.
It's just and the disparity showed. Like clearly, the disparity showed.
And, you know, as we say, five stars are generally about 30 to 35 a year. It's basically a first-round draft pick.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So if your favorite NFL team had 18 first-round draft picks, they're playing a team that only had one.
Yeah.
Going to take my chances on that. Yeah, it was amazing. One guy who was not a five-star was actually a no-star. Someone dug up the the Stetson Bennett was blessed and humbled, blessed and excited to receive a UMass offer. We had him.
Yeah. Yes,
we had him. UMass could have won the national title behind Stetson Bennett.
It was like UMass and Mercer were his offers.
Good scouting by UMass. They found this kid. Four TDs passing, 307 yards, I think.
304.
Yeah. 304. He had a two touchdowns, a really nice run. Kirby said he picked apart almost every defensive wrinkle they came at, checkdowns, ran out of a max blitz, all sorts of really good plays. He had a number of really good throws.
Yeah.
Yeah, Stetson Bennett absolutely balled out in this game. Kirby Smart called it the best game he's played. He thought, no doubt, absolutely tremendous game. He's throwing to more talented players, and he's hitting some guys that are open, but can't play a whole lot better than that.
No. I mean, it was spectacular to what he did. And he does it. Like, if you put – okay, so here's the deal. Stetson Bennett, offensive MVP of four playoff games now. Both of them last year, both of them this year. So it'll be a while before somebody does that again. I am relatively confident. This game was his highest efficiency of those four. It's like a 224 or something. If you put together, if you pile up all his stats for the four playoff games, he's completed like 70% of his passes, over 300 yards per game, 12 touchdowns, one interception. I mean, ridiculous numbers. High level, great competition, high pressure, and just coming through like an absolute baller. So, I mean, it's a fantastic thing. And I waited him out till almost the very point where he finally took off his Georgia jersey for the last time. But he was standing waiting to do Scott Van Pelt's show on ESPN. And Kirby was on, and they were going to put the headsets on Stetson. He was going to go in. And so I wanted to ask him a question because I'd seen him make this little finger sign for a picture. Or somebody, I was like, what's this finger sign? And it's like a secret society thing for an honor society at Georgia. And he grabs my notepad. He said, here, you need to look this up. And he writes four initials down, SVNV. I'm like, what's this? And then he puts on the headset and he goes, and I got no explanation. I finally got one. Oh boy, I'm gonna blow it now. It's
by the way, I just happened to be right there for this exchange. Yeah. And I saw Stetson writing something on Pat's notepad, thinking, what in the hell is going on over there? So I went over there, and I was like, what did he write on your notepad? And Pat said, I don't know. Well, we got to get to the bottom of this.
Yes.
It was a love letter to Pat for defending him all the times on the podcast.
That's right.
I was being mean to him.
That's right. That's right.
It should be, right? Against haters like you, Dan Wetzel.
That's true.
Pat, while you're looking it up, I'll say, you know, we talk about his accuracy and obviously his passing ability a lot. But, man, there was like one specific play. He was in the first quarter. He recognized a blitz off the edge that had not been picked up. And he did a 360 turn away from the blitz, rolled out, ran for the first down. It was just like innate, just like immediately recognized it. And that right there, I guess, is 7 years in college football.
It was a 25-year-old player.
Kirby made a couple cracks about the 25. Yeah. He goes, at one point, he goes, I hope he doesn't get too much into the Pappy Van Winkle like last year, and he was drunk on Good Morning America the next day. Then he goes, he's 25 years old. What am I supposed to say?
And the Pappy bottle did make the trip again. I have that from sources. Sources. But all right, so here's what it was.
Sources. The Pappy is here.
It was Latin, sic vos non vobis, which roughly translates to thus we work, but not for ourselves. So Stetson Bennett, mailman, delivered for everyone else.
There you go.
Oh, my God. I was just beginning to like him. He's got a sappy slogan like that.
See? The death blow to hater Dan Wetzel from Stetson
thus
Bennett.
Thus we work, but not for ourselves.
That's right.
Some Georgia secret honor society? Come on.
Also,
what is that?
Stetson, Bowers, and McConkley, attorneys at law.
Yeah. The law firm. The law firm was working it. Nah, he was tremendous. The defense was spectacular.
Yeah.
Two picks by Bullard, Javon Bullard.
Well, and I wrote a lot about the Georgia defense against, you know, TCU's offense and why TCU had so much trouble. And talked to Garrett Riley, the TCU offensive coordinator, for a little bit. And he said that they made some adjustments in the secondary, which they needed to after the last two games, which we talked about on the pod, about them giving up so many yards against Ohio State and LSU the last two games. And it sounds like the adjustment was just mixing up coverages and purposely trying to confuse Max Duggan, which Max even admitted after the game happened. That he said that they would show something coverage-wise that they had seen on film, actually, but right before the snap, Georgia would change coverages kind of confuse him. And that went a long way. And then I think the other part of the story was a quote summed up pretty well by – or a point summed up with a quote by Will Muschamp, Georgia's defensive coordinator, which was, we won up front. And they certainly did, especially late in the game. They wore him down.
Yeah. Now, the defensive line got all the push that they didn't get last week against C.J. Stroud. You know, they were in Max Duggan's kitchen most of the night and, you know, affected his throws, sacked him several times, and, you know, just made it like this was I think Sonny Dykes used the term snowballed. This snowballed on them. And oh, that does remind me, too. My one other highlight of the night was when I was waiting around because I was going to follow Stetson basically everywhere, but I peeked my head into the TCU press conference. And I see sitting in the back row one Dan Wetzel who was so galvanized and transfixed by Sonny Dykes that you were like playing a Scrabble game or something on your phone.
Sudoku.
Okay,
perfect. Yeah, I was like, yeah, I don't need to hear this. They told me they were bringing Joy, so I took a minute. Yeah. I mean, he was trying to explain it. Yeah, I was working on a Sudoku. Listen, great season for TCU. They were never beating these guys. Tough night for the TCU fans. I was kind of surprised they all left.
Yeah.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
They were sort of like, you know what? You were never beating them. I said this up in the press box. Like, I remember when Kansas basketball lost to the Kentucky team that had Anthony Davis and Michael Kidd-Gilchrist and Cauley Stein. And I mean, they were absolutely loaded Kentucky team. And Kansas was not that great of a team. And their fans at the end cheered for the Kansas team. It was like, you guys basically won the national title, except for, like, you were, like, great job.
Yeah.
Like, okay, we're never beating them.
Right.
Seven-game series, sweep.
Right.
I was kind of surprised they all left. But anyway, TCU fans were like, I'm out of here. They didn't want to watch the Cards. Yeah. But, man, 65 is hard to watch.
Right. But, yeah, I would think, ain't no guarantee they're ever getting back. So
No.
I think you'd stay till the bitter
end. They showed out, though. There was a lot of purple there.
Yep.
Yeah. At least probably 20, it was probably 55-45, I'd say, Georgia.
Yeah.
But there was 25,000 to 30,000 TCU fans there.
Yeah. Well, they were gone. They were gone at the end. It was like one of those Red River games when someone's giving the beat down to the other and the rest of them just go eat, you know, deep fried butter. They're like, hell no, I'm going back to the fair. So Georgia is now 29-1 the last 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
Back-to-back national titles. They will go off as a prohibitive favorite next year. They're absolutely loaded. And like 2 and 3, I mean, I would actually say Alabama should probably be 2. But people are, well, Ohio, I've seen the way earlies. Ohio State 2. Like, that's without C.J. Stroud. Okay. Michigan 3. okay. Uh-huh. Like, do we think it, you know, Florida State could be mm-hmm. up there. I mean, there's a few contenders,
LSU,
obviously.
Yeah.
Bama, LSU, but you sit there and go, boy, this Georgia team, it's amazing. They went 40 years without winning a national championship, and now everybody's chasing them.
Yeah.
And it didn't look like they're going anywhere.
No.
And yes, maybe Alabama still got one more run in them, but Kirby Smart isn't 70 years old.
Right. No, that's...
I mean, it is just like they were always behind Alabama or Tennessee or Florida. And you always sat there and said, how the hell are they not better? They're in the state that turns out all the players. They really don't have in-state competition with Georgia Tech. They have this great campus. They have this great stadium. They have the will to win They could never quite get there. Mark Richt did a great job of being really good, but they could never get there. 40 years, and now it's like, get the hell out of the way. Who the hell's beating these guys?
Yeah. No, I had to write an essay before the game for our SI commemorative issue, which you all should buy, by the way, when it comes out.
For sure.
On Georgia winning the championship. And that was the primary point is like, Kirby Smart is 47 years old and has now won two titles.
Yeah. He just looks 62.
Right. Yeah. He's got a little Mac Brown sort of like, he's not necessarily going to age with great grace, but but like the talent level, I mean, everything is set up for them to win forever now. They've got the best coach. They've got to sit on some of the best talent. They've got all the facilities, every infrastructure thing, every staff person you need. I mean, they are set up for the 2020s and beyond, frankly. So, I mean, unless Kirby Smart loses interest or wants to try the NFL, look out, everybody.
So, you know, Saban was there, was on the sideline before the game, and then he was up at halftime. I think he did maybe talked a little bit at halftime on TV as an analyst. And I think there's a tweet out there. It's just hysterical. It's from a Georgia Twitter account. But it's a photo of Saban. And you can see him looking down in his suit, looking down over the railing from his perch way up in the on the stage of the stadium, looking down on the field. And the tweet is, Romulus Augustus watching the fall of Rome, 476 AD. It's just, it's amazing. I mean, it's truly incredible tweet there. But you wonder if the guard is changing. It sure feels that way, even though Alabama just signed their best class they've ever signed, the number one class in the nation. But it does feel that way. It does feel that Kirby is starting to really catch up.
I think
Pat
it's over.
Pat has said it's over.
He's calling the dynasty is dead.
I don't believe that. I think they got a run in them. They are signing incredible recruiting classes, but so is in Georgia. Like I just looked at the 2024, so the current high school juniors.
Yeah.
They already have five top hundreds committed to Georgia.
Really?
Like that, yeah. That is a great Ohio State class if you get five. USC will hope to get five top hundreds. They already got five in the bag.
Yeah.
Now it's still, you know,
with nearly a year to go.
Year to go. Like they're just loading up, and you see it. I mean, it's the great competition. You know, and Kirby's after. He sounds like complacent. What the only thing is entitlement, and he's already talking about how actually last year was easier to beat entitlement because we had all these guys leave, so we had new guys, but now we got a lot of guys coming back. But he's just, you know. And, you know, his worry going into the game was he had worked them too hard. They might be tired. It's just a relentless, you know, pursuit. And I don't see Kirby Smart as a pro football coach.
No.
He's a college guy, and he doesn't look like he's getting tired of winning.
No.
And I don't see him slipping. I don't see any of it slipping.
No.
And, yeah, at that age, oh, my God.
Look out.
Yeah. Look out. And yeah, okay, Saban's there, but when how long is Saban going to be there?
Right, that's the thing. Saban's in his 70s now. So
yeah.
I'm telling you, I think the baton has been passed. They have taken it. And I talked about, like, all right, Bowers is coming back. Ladd McConkey's coming back. Javon Bullard, who had the two interceptions, he's only a true sophomore. He's got to come back. Bear Alexander, who had two sacks, freshman. And, I mean, they've just got so many guys that are – you know, got great experience this year. That was a fairly young defense. And they're going to bring back a ton of those guys. Obviously, you're losing a great, great quarterback and some really, really good offensive linemen. Like Broderick Jones nearly ended the life of some TCU, poor, like 220-pound TCU guy, offensive tackle. Broderick Jones, you know, like a pullout and just obliterate the dude on one of those red zone plays. So. But, I mean, they'll lose some guys for sure. But, man, they have a lot of guys coming back too.
Yeah, it's impressive. So, I think TCU will be able to build on it and go. I'm looking at the, let's see, did one of you guys do? Oh, yeah, Pat Forty's way too early. Top 25. Mm. Let's take a look.
Yeah,
Georgia, yep, one. Michigan, you have at number two. They did get, they are getting Blake Corum back.
Right. They got
Blake Corum. They may or may not have Jim Harbaugh. What if Harbaugh's gone?
Well, that's the thing. I mean, you know, then we redo the damn top 25.
Yeah, yeah.
That's why it's way too early. We don't even know who's going to be back.
Harbaugh planting stories on the NFL Network. I mean, Harbaugh is as subtle as a falling safe. I mean, I think that story on the NFL Network.
They better pony up.
Yeah. Jim Harbaugh is going to interview with Denver, but if they just give him a long-term deal, he won't, sources said. Yeah. Gee, I wonder who might benefit from that story.
Yeah,
I don't know how that one works. I would pay him, first off, but I also get that he's currently under, like, in a mess of that he personally made by potentially lying, allegedly misleading, whatever the term is. Like, that thing could become a huge deal if he just doesn't, cooperate. I don't know, whatever they want. But high-value employees, coaches pay for themselves.
Yes. You know, they do.
Nick Saban's worth like $100 million a year to the state of Alabama.
Hell,
like,
yeah.
They'll give that in tax incentives to some factory to, you know.
Yeah.
We got a widget manufacturer in Dothan going to employ 150 guys. Nick Saban's worth more than that. So I would pay him. But anyway,
that
was probably one of the most obviously placed stories I've ever seen in my entire life.
Real quick to your NCAA point here, I don't want to divert us too much, but like the Michigan fans have leaped onto, this is how ridiculous the NCAA is. They're making a big deal out of a hamburger, which is the alleged violation. I don't know.
We took some guys to and had a hamburger.
Yeah. And so.
Yeah, that may be true, maybe not.
We don't know.
But probably true. Yeah.
That's not the case. This is not about a hamburger. It's about lying about the hamburger.
Yeah, that's the problem.
Yeah.
Nobody cares. The NCAA doesn't care.
No.
Level 2 violation,
right.
You know, like we said, like you're going to get the violations are, they're not nothing, but they're not much. And so you're going to get like 2 less recruiting visits and a online seminar and be on your way. It's that he allegedly will not admit that he did it. That makes the whole thing. So that's the part that's puzzling everyone. Like, I'm not here to defend the NCAA, as everyone knows, but they're like, we don't really care, but you got to at least say you did it.
Right.
Don't make us look like a fool.
Right.
Yeah, lying about a level 2 or level 3 is a level 1.
Yes. Yes.
Lying about the level 2 is dumber than the level 2.
Yep.
Yeah, I don't know. Anyway, will Harbaugh be there? We don't know. As Harbaugh turns. Let's see. You got LSU 3. Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, Daniels.
Pat, better watch it now. They might start liking you, Matt Rouge.
Somebody did actually ask me and said that I'm ruining my my narrative in Louisiana.
Why do they hate you?
But
super random. A one former LSU basketball coach who was fired was in L.A. this week and staying at the JW. I saw a Will Wade waltzing through the lobby a few times. If only Dan
should have come to the live.
If
taping.
Only
we got
exactly.
More jokes
if only
off of Will
he
Wade.
Ran into a one Pat 40 in that lobby.
Will was good for us.
Oh, yeah. The podcast has done a lot of Will Wade business. A
lot of Will Wade. We're still waiting for Will to call me back when we ask for comments on the.
Yeah.
Don't hold your breath on that one.
Yeah, March 2019. I think we broke.
He has our numbers.
Yeah,
haven't heard from him.
Yeah,
don't care.
No.
All good, Wade. Well, I actually wish he would boot back. He was a fun coach to have around.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Yeah, LSU. So obviously Jaden Daniels,
right?
League neighbors. Mason Taylor's good.
Yeah.
Tight end, yeah. No, that's, there you go.
Brian Kelly. Perkins on defense.
Kelly under the gun. Better win.
Perkins, yeah. He's a all monster.
Right. Number four on Pat's list, Penn State. They're going to make the breakthrough.
I don't know. Maybe. I mean,
Drew Aller.
I will say, like, to your point that you were kind of making earlier, it's like after Georgia, it's like everybody's like, kind of iffy, you know? Don't really know, but.
Well, they have very good young talent there.
Yeah.
The big Alou, the big lineman said he's coming back.
Right.
And, I mean, they had a great recruiting class last year. Singleton, Carter, the linebacker.
Right. Two freshman running backs.
So, yeah, they'll be, you know, they got to go to Ohio State, but they'll get Michigan at home. Very interesting year for Penn State, obviously. All right. Number five, Pat has Washington.
Maybe a little bit of a reach there, but, I mean, that was a good team.
Open Kalen DeBoer, yeah.
Yeah, Kalen DeBoer was the best first-year coach not named Sonny Dykes in a new job. He was phenomenal.
That's fair.
Yeah, I think so.
Went 11-2. Won the bowl game.
I think he had a better one.
Better than Freeman. Well, what about Lincoln Riley? Faded at the end. All right.
Yeah.
Also, given the talent too, you know.
Right.
Pretty excited to see Washington. I'm excited.
Yeah.
This list is making me excited.
There we go.
All right.
Maybe we're going to get some. I sure hope we're going to get a little splashes of parody. I say that after what a couple hours after
65-7.
After not only 65-7, but a fourth straight SEC national champion in a 13th in the last 17 from the league.
Yeah.
It's just five different SEC teams over that stretch, that 13 out of 17. So we got to get some parity in here. Maybe expanded playoff.
Playoff hopefully. In 2 years. This next year is the last of the four. Yeah. Number six, Ohio State Buckeyes. So, yeah, Stroud's gone. Harrison Jr.'s back, though.
Yep.
Can they fix the defense? They're at Notre Dame and at Michigan.
Yep.
I do think we now know who had a worse. Remember the debate we had who had a worse New Year's Eve, Michigan or Ohio State? It was Ohio State.
Yeah.
Ohio State had a national champion. Like they're killing themselves.
Oh
right
yeah.
Now.
Yes. Oh yeah. They would have done something fairly similar. I mean, it would have been 45-14 or something.
Yeah. I was positing the question. Yes, who's the most nauseated watching that game? Yeah. Ohio State, Michigan, or Alabama?
the thoughts. That
you
go
know, TCU probably would have scored more than they did tonight. But they'd have lost that game. They'd have lost.
Alabama's nauseated because they would have had to defeat Georgia,
right?
And you don't know whether that's possible. Ohio State had them beat.
They did.
They were up 14. Blew it, then were right there on the field goal, didn't gain any, they lost yards, and had to boot a 50-yarder and missed right at midnight, ruining the balloon drop at the bars of Columbus. They had the title. Michigan fan, I think, is sitting there going, we never should have lost to TCU.
Right.
We gave them 14 points defensively. We blew it twice on the goal line and had one turn back. But all that would have done is we would have got to this game, and I think Georgia beats Michigan 45-28 or something like that.
Yeah, they beat them handily.
Right. They're still beating them in a decent amount. No one was beating Georgia tonight.
No.
That was one of the finest looking operations. I mean, they made TCU look like they played Akron in a bye game in September.
Yeah. That's what it looked like.
I mean, they just ragdolled a good team.
It looked like a non-conference September game.
Yeah. Maybe TCU isn't the second best team. Maybe some circumstance where it was a good quality football team.
Yeah.
And they just destroyed them. This was no fraud. I mean, it's just like someone was getting their ass kicked tonight, and it was TCU's turn. They're the ones who showed up.
And it echoed back to Ross and I were in Atlanta, and you were listening to, like, Georgia was so disgusted with themselves after the Ohio State game that it was close, that they came that close to losing. Yeah. They thought they played really badly, you know, but – yeah, if you're Ohio State now, you're sitting there. You're Dennis Green. We had him and we let him off the hook. You know,
crown him. Is that the one? Crown him, or was that?
No, that was the. They are
who we thought they are.
They are who we thought. Yeah, really know what
Georgia
that
definitely is who we thought they were.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Pat, number seven, Alabama.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's a great chance either Ohio State or Alabama are criminally low. Maybe both. I don't know.
You're hating on the tide. I just like to say we've gone through Penn State and Washington before Alabama.
Hey.
How drunk were you when you wrote this?
What's that?
Were you drunk when you wrote?
He did it all at the cigar bar last night.
At the cigar bar? The Connors cigar bar?
Rum Old Fashions.
It was before the Rum Old Fashions.
But after the beer.
What about at Tom's Watch Bar? We were there
after
too.
The beer. That's right.
That's right.
It was a tough night.
We enjoyed
Tom's live pod. The live pod we did, I don't know, we had some audio or something. I don't know.
Yeah, sorry to everybody that was.
Yeah.
But it was tremendous. Stetson Bennett's mom was there.
Stetson Bennett's mom snapped a picture of us up on the stage.
Yeah, she would have beaten my ass if she had known. I was fortunate that didn't happen.
40's right. High school teammate, offensive lineman. Teammate.
He showed up. Yeah.
So was a guy
we had about
who,
40, 50 people.
So was a guy who came up to me afterward. I know you talked to him afterward, who was in a coma.
It was one of our coworkers.
Yeah, a coworker does a video for us and came up to me, nice guy, and said he was in a coma, came out of the coma and said,
I need to listen to the pod as a way to recharge.
I mean, look, I don't have my medical degree, but
I don't think you want to rewire a brain listening to the way I mispronounce everything.
That's right.
I don't know.
Whatever floats your boat.
So there was that. All right, number...
No paintings this year, though.
No paintings. We met a bunch of USC fans that were there for their 22nd national championship. They go every year.
Yep.
Dan embraced a homeless man on the street as well.
Oh, that's right.
And then flagged down a...
We hugged it out.
I
was hugged aggressively. Yeah. He aggressively hugged me. Which was good.
Then you flagged down the cart, the street food, street hot dog, Mexican hot dog, which I had.
Ross had me. So we're like an outdoor patio. There's a fence. We're in a restaurant, kind of. It's like a big. People in LA know Tom's Watch Bar. It's this huge sports bar across from the Staples Center. We're ordering off the outdoor hot dog cart and eating the food inside the.
Yeah,
that probably wasn't very
great. Great.
It's probably a violation of some kind.
It tasted really good going down. All right. That's all I'm going to say.
Yeah.
I'll stop there.
Yeah. We don't need to know. Number eight, USC. Fight on.
Yeah.
Speaking of the Trojans. Yeah. I mean, they got Caleb Williams. They're going to have the best player.
Yeah.
They got someone else may win the Heisman next year because they don't want to give it to, but I know who the best player is.
Yeah.
Him. I mean, there's going to be some tanking in the NFL.
Right.
Well, the Pac-12 quarterbacks alone.
Oh my God!
Is really a problem. I mean, look, if it's the last year of the 14 playoff, Pac-12 hadn't been in what, 6 years? Like, this is their year to get in. It's the last year of the 4-teamer, and they are loaded at the quarterback position.
So they got Penix Jr.
They got Caleb.
They got Dante Moore showing up at UCLA. I don't know if
they got Nix
a true freshman.
He's coming back.
Bo Nix is coming back.
DeLora, who at Arizona, he was one of the most fun quarterbacks to watch this year.
Oh, yeah.
And they're improving, so that should be interesting.
Cam Rising announced today he's coming back to Utah.
Yep. So. It's an exciting group coming back. So if they're going to do it, this needs to be the year to do it as Dan grabs a Natty Light from his bag and pops it open.
Do you have any more of those Natty Lights in the bag?
Not on me.
Damn.
Go make a run to the little...
All right, pod listeners, I'll be back in like a minute.
Where are you going? Yeah,
babe, I'm making a beer run.
Well, I would take one too.
Okay.
In fact, make it a bourbon run if you don't mind. Three triple
whatever
maker.
You can find.
Triple.
This is only going to last a few minutes.
A splash of lime.
This is some high quality podcasting. We're sending one of the co-hosts
Dan and
on
I
a
can
beer
hold
run.
It down. By the way, a little side.
I'm making a beer run during the pod.
A sidebar. This is a show. A sidebar to last night.
They're listening to a 65-7. I mean, get a life, people.
A sidebar to our great night on the town on Sunday night was my dad was with us. Just retired.
Coach
High
Dell.
School football coach. Coach.
He's the star
coach
of the show.
Dell was with us, got dragged around downtown LA. He ate one of the street hot dogs. Same as me. We're staying in the same hotel. I can tell you that The street dog went down well, but after that, you know, it was a struggle for us both a little bit. But yeah, Coach Dell came out to the pod, came out to the cigar bar, which I don't know that he's ever even been in a cigar bar. That might have been his first cigar bar, but it was good to have Coach Dell with the crew.
Coach Dell was the MVP of the night, as far as I'm concerned. All right, we'll finish out his top 10 because, you know, we're hoping that he's successful in this beer run. Number 9, TCU. Sure.
Okay.
I mean, you know, I hope this doesn't ruin the whole thing. And one of my things, I really hope that people in Dallas-Fort Worth get behind the team.
Yeah.
Like, they just, like, you got this quality club. They really are a fun team.
They are.
It's just, it sucks watching a season go like that. I remember, like, Notre Dame, they finally broke through and went 12-0 with Manti Te'o that year, and they're going to go play that Alabama team. It was just ridiculous, and Alabama crushes them, and it shouldn't take the excitement of a breakthrough, because that was a time when no one thought Notre Dame. There was all this, Notre Dame can never be good again. They can never. Yeah. You didn't win a national title, but you got there.
Right.
And nothing was happening.
That's probably the closest comparison to as far as dominating a performance in a title game. I mean, you had the USC over Oklahoma, which was the biggest spread up until today.
That was
a 38-pointer. But this one reminded, for whatever reason, reminded me more of the Notre Dame Alabama just trouncing.
Yeah. He seems to be successful.
Yeah, we have got a successful.
We've got
a successful cocktail run.
So we're here in the media workroom. We may never be allowed in again. I shouldn't even admit this. There is a hospitality suite next door. Pat just went over there. So, yeah. No, the thing about the game was, like, much like that Notre Dame game, you knew it, like, 11:52 left in the first quarter.
Thank you, sir.
Over.
I'm back.
Pat is delivering booze.
A scholar and a gentleman, thank you.
Delivering booze to us.
This is the best contributions Pat's made in the history of this podcast. Yes.
You think Georgia's the winner? We're the real winners tonight. We're
all right, number 10, Florida State. Yeah, absolutely. A lot of momentum there. Jordan Travis is coming back at quarterback. Johnny Wilson, Trey Benson's their really nice pass rusher.
Yeah.
Jared Verse, is back.
Randomly ran into actually, Florida State's AD today in the game, at the game, he was at the stadium, Michael Alford, and they are really excited. He was talking about the team and everybody they return, all those players you mentioned. They are super pumped that they're going to make some real noise this year.
LSU at Florida State, Sunday of Labor Day weekend.
In Orlando. Yeah, somebody said to me, actually a friend of all of us said to me, because this is a trade, Florida State went to New Orleans to play LSU, and now the trade is LSU will go down to Orlando. And somebody said, "Boy, that's a trade. New Orleans for Orlando, really?" But there you go.
Good point.
Well, I don't get it. What's the what? What, that it's New Orleans a much better city than Orlando?
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, I thought it was like some kind of like. No.
Have you been to Orlando?
I have. Many. I have kids.
And you've been to New Orleans, I know.
Yeah.
Yes. No, I'll go to New Orleans every time, believe me.
Yeah.
Orlando, I mean, you lose all your money. Yeah, don't even, either way. Yeah, I don't know. So we did mention this yesterday on the live pod that I thought I would bring back up since we're kind of out of material because it was 65-7.
There ain't a lot of play-by-play to break down.
South Dakota State, congratulations on the FCS championship. They beat North Dakota State. I believe the streets of Pierre are still burning.
You got to tell the story about the plane.
Yeah, well, that's...
Yeah, that's a classic.
So this is how TCU can maybe the TCU fans can redeem themselves. Mm. Because I think North Dakota State also deserves a note of honor. So they had a flight, North Dakota State. They lost the game, but on the way to the game, so the championship game was in Frisco, Texas, which is a suburb of Dallas. So there was a flight, Delta Connection flight 4561 from Fargo to Dallas-Fort Worth. Now, this is about a two-hour flight. Reports came in at two-thirds way through the flight. The flight attendant announced that they plane had been drank dry of all alcohol. It said, stop asking.
It's the second worst thing you want to hear on a plane.
All booze on board. We'd gone through all the booze. The Fargo, the North Dakota State Bison fans drank a plane dry, and it was only a two-hour flight.
That's the impressive part of it.
Yeah, this isn't the 16-hour one I took to Seoul. Like, I mean, in two, you got to keep ordering. How much ordering can you get done?
A lot of mini liquor bottles.
It's aggressive.
So two-thirds, that's a, what? So we're looking at like an hour and 20 minutes. You drank the whole plane dry?
I mean, impressive. They did work. And look, you're spending the winter in Fargo, North Dakota, and you're getting out to go to Texas?
Yeah.
Get it on.
Boom.
But on the plane? Multiple rounds?
Also, how's that plane bathroom? How's that? What's going on there? I mean, you know, I mean, a normal flight, there's a line of three or four people. On a flight that you drink all the booze, that line's stretching all the way down, and you don't want to go in there. And so this triggered the conversation, right, about the
which
fan bases,
Bases, which fan base are you most scared of if you're on a real on a plane? And we agreed it would be LSU.
1A LSU, 1B Wisconsin.
Yeah, Wisconsin was number two, but I don't know they'd go after the hard liquor. The beers would be gone immediately.
Right. Yeah, Wisconsin.
And there'd be the little cheese pack.
No cheese.
There'd be no cheese. We do have the carrots.
Yeah.
And the Chardonnay. That'd still be that. The Wisconsin fans, what is that? That doesn't count, right?
What? No.
Yeah. But, credit to the North Dakota State. I mean, that's really a bad. I mean, drinking a bar dry, drinking there were other stories. One time the North Dakota State fans went to a steakhouse and they ate the steakhouse dry of steak.
Wow.
There was no more steak. So these people are just, I mean, high major fans.
Insatiable. You know? Yeah.
Yeah.
Send them up to FBS.
But I've never heard of a plane.
Yes.
I've never heard of a plane going under that quickly. I mean, that's a multiple rounds really quick. So, TCU fans, if you're hearing this before you board your flight back.
Yeah. Show us something.
Yeah. This is your way. There's a bunch of flights, LAX to Dallas-Fort Worth. Drink that thing dry and report back to us. You will have still won some measure of respect after 65-7.
Our lovely Sean producer, Anderson, Sean.
Our producer, who is an FCS football player, just texted and said it just means more in the FCS.
So. There you go. FCS and really SEC, baby. Just means more.
Yeah. The other thing there is, I don't even remember what I was going to say.
All right. There we go. Keep that in, Sean. Keep that in. All right. We're not cutting anything tonight. No cutting. We've had a beer run midway through.
I thought you would start focusing better after the beer run. I noticed you're looking like Harbaugh, like getting like light bulbs that were flickering were starting to distract you when you had finished your beer. You couldn't keep up.
I remember
Keep up, but now you have your drink. What? All right, go ahead.
I remember what I was going to say now. But you had the flight number for this and everything, so you're reading this story. Was it a Daily Mirror story?
No. Okay. It was not Daily Mail.
Daily Mail.
Mail, please.
Get it right, yeah.
I have a Daily Mail story.
Of course you do.
Do you?
Yeah.
Hey, so, I do have one other game-related.
Okay, go
ahead. Yeah, okay. What? We're way off. the rails, we are way off.
Then we can get to the Daily Mail. But... You wrote the column, Dan. It was a good column to write off of this game, especially, it was such a seal clubbing that Stetson Bennett,
one way to put
NFL
it.
Quarterback, question mark. What do you got?
Stetson Bennett. Can he play in the NFL?
Yeah.
So every single thing that when I watch is absolutely not. He just doesn't look like an NFL quarterback out there. But that's just, that's... If he's 6'3", he's the number one pick in the draft.
Yep.
I mean, he's absolutely, he did everything. He's fantastic. But he's not 6'3". He's 5'11 by list, and we're going to find out.
He's not
5'11". At that. He's not. At the combine, don't lie.
Right.
So they're going to really measure him, and who knows? Is it 5'10"? Is it 5'9" and, 7'8" or something like that? We'll see. It's been a while. Doug Flutie was a good, decent player. Drew Brees was 6 foot.
Maybe.
Not tall.
Maybe.
Maybe. Russell Bryce Wilson. Young is not tall.
No.
So I don't know. I mean, there's a lot there. He clearly knows how to read a defense. He's accurate. He's a very good athlete. The best info I had was ESPN had a stat that the only three quarterbacks in the last 20 years, since 2006, actually, under 6 feet, college quarterbacks under 6 feet had been drafted. It was like Denard Robinson. Like, yeah, it's in my story. Kid from Appalachian State. Yeah, all of them turned. And now, and I also, I don't know, ESPN's research wasn't that good because Julian Edelman fits into this also. He's the Kent State quarterback. He's the most famous one.
Yeah.
All four of the guys turned to be, moved to become wide receivers.
Yeah.
Right. I don't think Stetson Bennett wants to be a wide receiver. I'm not sure he's about that life. But who knows? I mean, but he's fast. I don't know, but could he be a quarterback? So my thing is, no one's sitting there saying he's going to be, you know, like Josh Allen franchise quarterback or something like that. But like Chase Daniel is like 6 foot maybe.
And he's not. No.
Right. Chase and he's Daniel's been in the league 14 freaking years.
Yeah.
It can be done.
Could he be that?
Yeah. Well,
he looks like when eventually they're going to hit you.
Right.
And they're going to hit you in a way you've never been hit. And can he take that hit?
And that's the thing. He's not only 5'10"-ish, but he's also, he's like 190. He's not thick.
He's listed at 190.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I don't know. But
yeah.
If you can stay healthy.
I do think he could get drafted.
Be accurate.
Yeah, I talked to a couple NFL scouts a week or two ago about, you know, for a story, my 93rd Stetson Bennett story. And they were sure he was going to be drafted, you know, probably later rounds, 5, 6, 7, whatever. And they thought he had a chance to stick, but they didn't ever, you know, see him as a starter, you know, that he's one of those guys, his brain and his athleticism can keep him in the league, but, you know, can it make him a starting quarterback? They were not sure about that. One guy did raise an interesting point that basically that they weren't sure he was that clipboard, you know, like film junkie guy that would be happy, like to be Chase Daniel and be on a backup for 10 years, that he might get bored and say, forget it, I'll go, you know, open Stetson Bennett Chevrolet in Athens.
Chase Daniel's made like $35 million. It's a good way to be bored.
Oh, it's a great way to be bored.
Bore me.
I'd take it. I would take it. Absolutely.
Bore me.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I'll be bored for 35.
Why does everyone make him a car
million?
Dealer? Why does everyone think he's going to be a car dealer?
Because he'll sell a gazillion cars.
Yeah.
Bennett Ford.
He's talked about becoming a lawyer.
Bennett Bowers and McConkley.
He's going to be in the media.
Well, he's a phenomenal talker. I will say, like I will pour out some of my Sierra Nevada for losing him as a quote.
Yeah.
Because that dude can fill it up, and now we no longer have.
It'd be good analyst. Maybe he'd be.
Yeah, exactly.
Be
so that, like, get him on
McElroy.
TV. Yeah, absolutely. He's got that kind of, he's got a little smart-ass humor and self-deprecating humor, but he will call a spade, and he's a talker.
Yeah, I mean, it'll, I don't know. What do you think? NFL QB?
I don't know. Backup. Maybe he'll make $35 million and be a backup.
Yeah.
I mean.
Again, that's winning.
I don't know. I mean, Pat's numbers are striking. From, you know, in the biggest spots, he's played his best, you know, and scouts see that. So, and his accuracy is incredible. I mean, tonight, like two plays stuck out to me tonight. There was the play we already discussed where he recognized a blitz off the edge that wasn't picked up, and he spun away from it and then ran about 12 yards go for the first down. It was great. And then there was one where he was on the move right, and I think I remember live, Pat, you saying, oh, nobody's open. It was a third and like 8 or something. Like, yeah. Nobody's open, and he whistled one in into triple coverage perfectly. So
Yeah, Bowers, I think. Yeah.
It's incredible.
Yeah.
Ran into Mid-American Conference PR sensation Jeremy Guy, who coined
podcast
the term.
Listener.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Term the coin Maction, I believe.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes.
Great marketing. So I have to congratulate the MAC on winning the
bowl.
The bowl championship.
They went
4-2.
Really?
Winning percentage.
That'll do it.
4-2. They at 667%.
Wow.
They won the bowl challenge.
Did the SEC mount a comeback? Because they were bad. It was like they were like 2-5. What did they?
They ended up 7-5. Okay.
They must have won.
So they get a 583. Yeah. I don't know if this counts. Does this game count tonight?
I would think so.
Okay, yeah. And then they're 8-5.
Okay.
And that's hard math.
Yeah, they're like 1-4 to start.
Well, John Steinbrecher was actually the MAC commissioner, was on the field with his wife, kind of walking around the field. And as we discussed earlier, the venue doesn't have any walls. So, you know, wind was blowing in and rain, and it was pretty chilly. And Steinbrecher, even though it was, you know, it was only like probably 58 degrees, 60 degrees in there with a little bit of moisture in the air, he said, "This is Maction weather."
You know, that's right.
He was, I'm sure he's excited about
grabbing it's a weeknight game, too. It's very Maction.
That's a Tuesday night in DeKalb. That's a dream come true.
There you go. Absolutely.
This guy, the Mac right there on the in Cleveland, right off the shores of Lake Erie, man. That's,
yeah.
Woo.
Yeah.
Cleveland.
By the way, real quick before we move on, here, just say the replay of the game is on like on ESPN right now. Oh. We're taping this at like 1:11 Pacific.
How's it going?
17-7.
I think it's even worse than I thought it was the first time around. Every time I look up, Georgia's destroying everybody.
Second place was Independence, although they went 3-2.
Yeah, there's that five Independence made bowl games.
I guess so.
Wow.
The SEC would be, I don't know what 8-5 is. It's not as good as 4-2.
It's not.
Because it'd be, you know, 4 and 2.5 if you divide down. I can do that much. Anyway, this is boring. There's a lot of parity in this. I did go 23-17 in my bowl picks.
Great. Oh, good to know.
I'm still not sure I got real value last night.
What?
Well,
I paid for at least one cigar in a couple of Jameson's, and this one Pat paid for a bunch of
that
beer.
Is more,
you did pay for my street dog.
I did pay for. I paid for the. We do need to give a shout out to former producer Sully.
Sully picked up the tab.
Showed
as far
up.
As I recall.
Yeah, showed up in L.A. He lives here and picked up a tab and went running into a CVS to buy the 12 pack of Natty Light,
which I'm now drinking.
Yes.
So yeah, not all bad. All right, two stories we should get to. So this one, good idea or bad idea, a Dutch supermarket chain has created the slow checkout lane. It's called the slow checkout lane for people who enjoy chatting. So they have like a personable cashier and like the old ladies who want to come by and chat.
Come on.
Can use the slow lane.
Oh, my God.
It helps elderly deal with loneliness.
Oh, my God. This sounds awful.
In the Netherlands, the slow checkout lane, they've now expanded to all 200 of their stores.
Wow.
Are you in favor of this, the slow checkout lane? God.
Well, if it gets other people out of my way,
that's true, right? I guess.
You know?
You clear the...
Weed out.
Clear the other lanes.
Pat, are you do you like chatting with the...
Oh, God, no. I mean... Oh. I mean, if I'm ever in the slow checkout lane, just kill me right then and there. Just kill
there's
me.
Like the old lady's got like a bonnet and like a hair. Like,
and you know what she's got in her bag too? She's got like eggs and bread. Maybe
but
milk.
She wants to write a check.
Yeah, she's got to write a check. That's right.
To the supermarket.
She's got to write the check. That's right.
Write the check to the supermarket.
Yeah.
Like, oh no. We're not. Is that a checkbook? Oh, God, no.
Checking the name tag of the person who's scanning the items. Oh, yeah. Dolores. Hi, Dolores. I'm Vivian.
Yeah. This is Brad. Now they've created their own lane for these people. I'm in favor.
I think it actually pretty good. I don't want to be in it, but I want everybody else to be in it and get the hell out of my way.
It gets rid of it. Clears the other lanes. That makes a good point. I'm for it.
Yeah, not bad. So my Daily Mail, I'm not into it right now because they've been all over the princes, Harry and the other guy who married Princess Kate, who's going to be the king.
Yeah, William, right?
William, Prince William. Okay. So I don't like the princes, but now I'm starting to read the prince stories because they've been fired up. They've been having like Netflix specials and they're yelling. There's a lot of yelling at each other.
Really?
So we certainly hear, as we drink during the show, we certainly don't encourage use of we kind of encourage use of alcohol.
I was about to say, we don't? What?
No, don't. Certainly not hard drugs, okay? So this is a cocaine question, which, you know, hey, why not? We can people's court this, sort of. Don't do that whole people's court. This is too much for that. But Prince Harry, apparently, did some cocaine, allegedly, as a young man. And
Whoa.
This is according to the Daily Mail.
Wow.
He actually admitted it in his book, apparently. I don't know. There's a lot with these princes. There's a lot going on.
If you're a prince, you'd probably end up doing cocaine.
You probably do a lot.
I have never done cocaine, but
he's known as the party prince, apparently.
Oh, anyway, Harry? For sure.
Harry's the party
before
prince.
He's married, right?
Yeah, he's the one married to the
American before he
girl.
Got married, he was. Yeah. He was married to
the woman who went to Northwestern.
Yeah, and then he went in the...
She was on Deal or No Deal.
Didn't he go to the military, too, didn't he? He was in the military.
Yeah, I don't know. There's a lot.
Total frat boy. I mean, he was a partier. Yeah.
He was
super partier. Yeah.
Probably listens to the pod. If you want to be American, Harry. You want to listen to... Okay. Anyway, fascinating twist here with the cocaine. He apparently... Okay, so, you know, his ancestors are all on the money. So he took, apparently, someone put the line of cocaine down, and he took whatever denomination Queen Elizabeth II is on and rolled it up, and right before he did his first line of cocaine, said, "Hello, Granny."
No, shut. This is not true.
This sounds really made up. 100%. Yeah, this sounds absurd.
It's in the Daily Mail.
Oh, well, the Daily Mail. Oh, that must be true.
100% false. There is
Granny. Hello, Granny, and then there snorts cocaine out of her rolled up freaking bill.
So, don't do cocaine.
Right.
I think we all agree.
Let's start with that baseline.
Don't do cocaine.
I've never done cocaine.
Okay? It is not a natty light. Mm-mm. It's going to hit a little harder. Don't do cocaine. But if you could do it through a banknote.
With your grandma.
Of your grandmother on it, and you could say, "Hello, Granny." Should you then absolutely do cocaine?
Well, of course. The answer to this question is, of course, if you're given the opportunity, you want to snort cocaine through a bill with your grandma's face plastered on it. Well, yes. Yes, absolutely. You know what? My grandma, who I showed you all a picture last night, she turned 84, 85. Just a couple days ago, she went to the New Orleans horse track to bet on the ponies. While she was at the horse track, played Bure for money. So she would probably be in favor of snort all you want from a bill with my face on it. There you go. So I'm in favor of it.
If you didn't want me to do it, why'd you put your face on the damn bill?
Yeah, this is on you, Granny.
This is on you. Prince Harry is a badass right there. That's a nice line. That's a good line.
Granny's fault.
It is 100% false, but it's a great line.
Yeah, that can't be true. Yeah, that can't be true.
You don't know that.
That can't be true.
I'm going with false.
Yeah, I'm going
anyway,
with false.
I'm going to start reading up on these princes. They're starting to interest me a little bit more.
Yeah, yeah. Great. Good to know. If you can't tell, we're a few in.
Okay. It's 4:18 a.m. Yeah,
we hit
Eastern.
The hour mark. All right, we're ready to...
It's 1:18 a.m.
Clocking out. Thank you for listening all the way. Game sucked. This pod probably was better than the game. can't guarantee it. But thanks for listening. We're gonna have a lot of fun all off season. So keep listening.
Yeah. Don't go
anywhere.
Continue
to subscribe. Don't leave us. The real ones know.
That's right.
The real ones know. There's never not news in college football and basketball and whatever else we come up with. These royal family guys are getting really interesting. All right, that's it. Subscribe and all that. Talk to you later.
Look around. You can find cars like these on AutoTrader. New cars, used cars, electric cars, maybe even flying cars. Okay, no flying cars, but as soon as they get invented, they'll be on Auto Trader. Just you wait. Auto Trader.